All right, so this is session 4 of Now Faith Is. Does anybody remember what the first one was? Session 1 was choose your side. There is no gray zone, no neutral zone, no purgatory. Just saying. It's either heaven or hell, and we talked about who God was and who Satan was, and choose your side. And sitting in the bleachers is not an option. It's a side, and you're in the game, right? And then number 2, the second session was, I'll give this thing. Okay, and we decided we had to talk a lot about the tongue because it's what gets us in trouble, and that's where our warfare is, because what comes out of our mouth is what our heart's telling us, right? It's the condition of our heart. And so, and a lot of times, 50% of the warfare, we invite demons into our life with our tongue. I always get sick this time of year. Thank you. I'll come right on in. My car always breaks down this time of year. Those kind of things. I'm stupid. Gosh, I'm stupid. Okay, that's speaking death over yourself, okay? That's what allows the unholy angels to come on in and wreak havoc with you and harass you. And so, and we can also, of course, hurt people with our tongue, not just ourselves, but other people. And that just as much death is in the tongue as there is life. And I want to share something I didn't share during that time. I worked the emergency room as an emergency room nurse. And so, and a lot of people have heard that before, that I see life and death all the time. It's in my face. And what are believers supposed to be able to do? Lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Okay, and so 2 or 3 times a week, it's in my face. And sometimes God would have fun and we used to do things, and other times I just felt like we're not having as much fun as we could be having. And we know it's not, God's not the one that's moved, changed position, obviously. What am I doing wrong, or what am I not clicking into, or whatever? And he showed me something. He said there's life and death in the tongue. Okay? And can I trust you enough, Teresa, to release the fullness of me in you to raise the dead, which, by the way, has happened once, or you lay hands on the sick and they recover, and can I still trust your tongue 5 minutes later with whatever else comes out of it? Can I release my full power in you and trust you 24/7 with your mouth? And that just really answered a lot of questions for me. The answer was no. Okay, so I might lay hands on somebody, they're sick, and then 10 minutes later, I'm saying something negative about the patient, speaking death over somebody, just gossip or over myself. You're stupid or you're ignorant. And so he said, if I release the full power, everything you say will come to pass. Everything you say. And I'm like, no wonder you haven't trusted me. Oh, my gosh. You know, and so I've been working on that, you know. And, of course, in Jesus, he did it all the time. But, of course, he never sinned. And he had the fullness of God, right? So, anyway, I wanted to share that because I never did share that on lesson 2. And lesson session 3 last week was, that's right, work the word and the word will work. You got to work the word. If you do this, I'll do that. God said he's going to take care of all my needs. That's only half. If you seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, then he'll take care of all your needs, little Christian. Okay, so you can be a Christian and be living below the blessing because you have not worked the word. You haven't applied the part you're supposed to do, so God is then obligated. He's obligated to take care of your needs if you're seeking him first. You can take it to the bank. You can bet everything you got on it, okay? But a lot of times us Christians have a tendency to proclaim the blessing and forgetting that we have the other part that we're supposed to do. So session 4 now is we just thank you, Father God, for the prayers of the righteous. Thank you for doctors, nurses. Thank you, Lord. Walking, just half scared to say, but that's how I got rid of fear. It was like, okay, fear, get out of my house, get out of my house. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah! So, amen, yeah. Amen, right? And I'm believing for 100% recovery. Amen. Okay, now faith is.
Are you driving it? Just remember you told us.
Yeah, about submitting to my husband and everything he said. I had asked permission if I could come to church today if I felt up to it. And he said, yes, you may. And then a God thing happened with my sister and her husband. They had to take my car. So, but anyway, yes, I'm having to ask my husband. Everything that I do has to go through my husband. That's called submission to God first. Amen. Yes, and I'm sure he's loving that. Okay. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Which one of those inflections fits you? Maybe you don't know who the heck you are in Christ. Okay, so this is all about learning who you are in Christ. And it's amazing how you could take those three words and they have totally different meanings when I did the inflections. I'm sure there's sometimes that somebody's publicly been gone, who are you? Okay. One time in my life, I helped a lady having a seizure on the floor of Walmart. Ryan was with me. You were with Dad, or was Brett with Dad? Anyway, we went twosies, and this lady's having a grand mal seizure, and somebody's looking at her across the jewelry counter, looking at her on the floor, and people are just going by with their carts. So, of course, I go down, and I lay on the floor while she's flopping, and I wait, and she opens her eyes. I say, hey. My name's Teresa, and I'm a nurse. You just had a seizure. She goes, darn it. And so then I knew she'd had seizures before. She didn't go, I had a seizure. Okay. And I said, so you're supposed to be on some medicine? Yeah. So or did you forget your medicine? Well, I get my pay, her Medicare or Medicaid, whatever it is. This is on a Sunday, so she was going to get it Monday, and she'd been without her Dilantin for 3 days. So, of course, that's why she had the seizures. So we talked on the floor for a bit, and then we got her up. We got the little cart thingy. And I put her on that, and I said, you know, you need to go to the hospital, and you need to give some Dilantin IV to carry you over, or all you're going to do is have grandma seizures today. And did you drive? No, my daughter's here. Well, how about if we overhead page her, and, you know, she needs to get you to the emergency room, or I'm going to have to call an ambulance. Well, my daughter's over there in the photo line, which was like 10 feet from us. I did not lose my witness. I was very proud of myself because I wanted to go. She said she didn't want to lose her place in the photo line. That was her answer to us. Jesus. Wow, you really said it to me. Okay. So I went back over to the lady, and the Lord said, just love on the lady. And so I offered to pray, and we're sitting there, and of course, Ryan's going to go get, he's going to go get Scott and Brett at this time. You know, moms. Strange things are happening with mom again, you know. Because they're all sitting there with the grocery cart. And of course, Scott's used to it, so he's just looking at me. But so I prayed with her. And he said, touch her heart. And so I said, may I touch your heart? And she said, yes. And I touched her heart, and she just wept, and she looked at me, and she said, God, I think God just touched me. I said, she goes, I just felt something. I said, it wasn't me. It was God. God, he told me to touch your heart. And so then she said to me, this is, we're getting back, who are you? She said, who are you? And I said, Teresa Mills. And I said, and what's your full name? She told me, she goes, no, really, who are you? I mean, like, really. And I said, I'm Teresa Mills. She said, are you an angel? And I said, no, I'm not an angel. She goes, no, seriously, are you an angel? I said, no, seriously. I am not an angel. See those three guys over there? You can ask any one of them, and they're going to tell you I'm not an angel. But see the difference? That's only happened to me once, but you know what? I'm going to cherish that, right? And so sometimes people are looking at you going, who are you? or who are you? Really, who are you? And all I do is love on somebody and help her off the floor, right? Wow. Well, this is what God says you are. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Of course, the one that they're talking about in the world is, of course, Satan and the fallen angels. There's a third of the angels that fell down like lightning. Well, actually cast down like lightning because he thought he could actually usurp God. Silly guy. Okay. Your daddy's bigger than the world's daddy. Your daddy has already kicked the world's daddy's butt and took back the neighborhood. He not only kicked the devil's butt, he took back the neighborhood. And your neighborhood is as big as you want it to be. My neighborhood used to be, you know, I don't know, 3-foot radius maybe. And the Lord says, that's all you got? That's all the land you got? Walk with me all this time. So it's like, I feel like if the enemy has come anywhere within a half an acre of me, I'm like, who do you think you are? And what even made you have the right to put your foot on my land? Okay, your foot's on my land. That means I had to give you the right to put your foot on my land. So let's talk about that. Because my daddy kicked your butt a long time ago. So y'all go back to when you were school-age kids, and we talk about the daddies, and my daddy's bigger than your daddy, and your daddy is bigger. A cute little thing is we had a picnic. We had a picnic 3 years in a row here just to get the community used to our church, the church without windows, so we don't see traffic, not because we cut off chickens' heads, okay? Anyway. So we just want people to get used to us and all that. And it was the third year, and it caught on, and we just did everything was free. Everything was free. And it was food and games and prizes given away to the kids. And, I mean, it was so fun watching these kids going home exhausted with, you know, snow cone dripping down their face and their daddy's carrying them. And, you know, so it was a great time. And we had a little bit of a ruckus. We probably had about 300 or 400 people here on the third year. And I would just literally make rounds because I'm running the whole operation. And somebody decided to be not nice, and it was an adult, of course, and so she's getting a little attitude and with one of our helpers, and so, of course, I heard the attitude, so I walked over. I said, how can I help you? And she started to have some attitude with me, and I said, okay, you're right now, you're going to change your voice, and let's bring it down a little bit, and let's talk this all out, because I'm sure this is all a misunderstanding. And she goes, well, let me just tell you, blah, 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 ha-da-da. And then all of a sudden, she just, woof. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And yes, ma'am. Okay. And I said, okay, and so if that attitude happens again, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the premises. Yes, ma'am. And I'm thinking, yes, that's what I'm talking about. You know what happened halfway through there? Pastor Scott had walked up behind me because he heard there was this ruckus. I was having a challenge, and my husband had walked up behind me, and he was just doing this. And I thought it was me. That's what I'm talking about, lady. Okay. And it was because Pastor Scott's standing back of his muscular self and just looking at her. He never said one word. But that's what we have. Our daddy is behind us all the time. Father God's right behind like this. Just going like this. That's my daughter. That's my daughter. What are you saying about my daughter? Or my son? Yeah, I thought that was a cute example. I did. I thought it was me, and I turn around. I bump into my husband. I said, oh, is that why she changed her attitude? Because I know you're 6'2" and 250, baby, but you're not. I said, okay. Ephesians 2, 4, and 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are spiritually speaking, if you are a believer, you are in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The enemy is underneath Christ's feet. Christ is in you, therefore the enemy is underneath your feet. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have not physically died, but your old self, your flesh, the thing that wants to do the opposite of God, is what should have died the day you asked Jesus into your heart. Okay? Your mind, will, and emotions are supposed to yield to the Holy Spirit, not to the flesh. Before you get saved, we yielded to the flesh a lot. Whatever our flesh felt like doing, we would do. Or whatever our flesh thought, we would just go after, right? But now we're supposed to yield to the Holy Spirit. It is not done for you. You have to appropriate. It's a free gift. Holy Spirit, 100% of the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. But you have got to open that gift and appropriate it. So I think in some of us, the Holy Spirit's bored to tears. Because he's like, 100% of me, and you're not calling on me in any way. But you will by the end of the session. So here's a lie. You're living for heaven. Truth. We are living from heaven. We are living from heaven. We should have more people saying, are you an angel? Are you... What, I, like, whoa, this is just different. This person's different. Something's different about them. Have you ever walked, I've walked to Ingles or whatever, and I knew a Christian without them saying a word. They just walk right by, and there's just this light, or I'd feel a breeze, or I'd feel joy, and it was just like, whoo, man. And sometimes you'll just, or you make eye contact. I did that one time. This lady walks by, and I'm like, glory to God. She goes, amen, sister. And we just couldn't help it. Both the spirits just kind of pulled on each other, and I just thought, jeez, woo, okay, wow, that was cool. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. But, you know, to get that mindset, if you sit in the mindset of living for heaven, you're going to tend to be into works, and you're going to be so busy trying to work yourself to heaven, which, by the way, you can't because it's a free gift, and you're so busy trying to work yourself to heaven. That's the enemy's biggest lie. Work, 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 work. Go do all these ministries because I wouldn't want you to spend any time with God. God wants us to live from heaven. He wants us to sit at the feet of Jesus, let God love on us, literally just sit sometimes and do nothing.
Yes.
Okay, Linda, I felt that. My eyes are even closed, and I felt that.
Yeah.
Teresa. Yes, I'm learning that. Last 7 weeks I've sat still. Okay. And sometimes he wants us to worship and read the word. Those are the important things. You have got to be filled up in order to give out. You can't give what you don't have. You just can't. Okay? And you might have all kinds of knowledge about the scripture, but it's got to be mixed with the Holy Ghost, man. And it's got to be mixed with love and discernment, when to say and when to pray and things like that. And I'm still a work of progress on that one. But there's times where it's just to pray. And there's times where you're supposed to say. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That doesn't really need any explanation. That kind of tells it like it is. He is interested in our physical bodies. Yes, they're going to go back to the dust, and he doesn't want us so preoccupied with them, okay, that... That's all we're paying attention to is our body instead of what we're supposed to spiritually be doing for the kingdom, right? We are spirit, soul, and body. And so it's important what we're putting in, getting not enough sleep, balance in our life, boundaries, when to say no. It's okay to say no to people. If I said yes to everybody who asked me for something, or if I said yes to every good, godly thing, I would be out of God's will. There's a lot of great godly things. What is the great godly thing God wants Teresa Mills to do? Okay, and that's different for everybody. Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We must be mindful that we carry God's presence everywhere we go. I don't care where you're at. You're pumping gas. Now maybe you work, maybe you're with the grandkids, or maybe you're with the in-laws, or with your kids, or in school, or wherever you're at. When I glance over at you, do I see God making an appeal through you? Do I see God? Do I get a glance at Jesus? Just look around. Do I see the fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control? This is not about, I'm not wanting you to feel condemned. I'm wanting you to feel empowered. God lives in you. You are a powerhouse. When you walk, those little imps, they go run into the gutters. When I would walk into work, it would be dark when I would go into work in the emergency room. And so I would pretend I'd pray in the car for a couple minutes and say, Lord, please just use me. Don't let my head get in the way. Because sometimes when you get busy as a nurse, you know, I would miss God moments. And so as I'd walk in, and somebody, when the paramedics, because the paramedic station's right there, Teresa, what are you doing? What you doing, Teresa? Because he'd see me lay hands on dead, right in the middle of CPR, I'd be laying hands on dead people, and, you know. If they do not know you as Lord and Savior, bring him back to life, and I'll share the gospel, you know, and they'd all roll their eyes and stuff like this. And Darren was used to me. So, but he told me, he goes, what are you doing? You're acting like you're taking, like you're trying to walk in your daddy's steps. Because I was taking big steps, and I was taking them slow. I was walking in, and I didn't know Darren was standing there watching me. Okay, so... And I said, actually, I said, first of all, you know, Jesus lives in me. And he goes, yeah, I know that, Teresa. And I said, so therefore, I might. And you know, it's dark out. I said, I'm pretending as I'm putting my foot down that light is just going like this, whoosh, off of my feet. And it's just lighting up and all the darkness just disappears. And I said, and little imps are just going down into the gutters. He goes, I knew I was going to get an interesting answer when I asked the question. But that's exactly what I was doing. And I knew I could say that to Darren, and he wouldn't freak out. I probably would put in a lot milder way with somebody else. But that's my way of reminding myself of who I am and who I'm carrying. That sounds silly, but we need to put mindful things in. We need to be mindful of what we're doing and putting things to guard our heart. To be a believer means to have the very life of God operating on the inside of you, and that he can affect change in every area of your life. Holy Spirit has the power to quicken us and produce a quality of living that we cannot fathom. God is holy. He is supernatural. Everything he does is out of the natural. If he's asking you to do something that scares you to death, it's probably him. If he's asking you something real comfortable, probably not him. But if it scares you a little bit and you can't do it without him, that's him. Pastor Scott, introvert. And God makes him a pastor. When my husband stands up and preaches, that is not my husband. So, pretty intimidating, definitely unable to obtain in your own strength. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. But you must yield, submit, and draw from Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's in you, and let's look at all he has available for us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Holy Spirit dwells in you. There's a lot of believers right now. First of all, a lot of people will say they're the believers, okay. So we'll line up 20 people, and 15 people will say that they are believers in Jesus Christ. And probably out of 15 of those, maybe a third actually might be a believer in Jesus Christ. And then out of that third, probably half, wouldn't even believe in the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, what? Or think he's a distant deity. They do not realize that the Holy Spirit lives in. The day they ask Jesus in their heart, the Holy Spirit came in and resides in you. Now, he may be sitting in a corner not getting called upon at all. I don't know. Okay. But he's in you. That is a promise from God, and God is not a man he should lie. That is a promise. He is in you. He is in you. Romans 8:14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are sons, daughters of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead you. That's why you cannot understand the Bible if you are not saved. Because the Holy Spirit leads you and helps guide you and teaches you the word. The Holy Spirit will lead you down a path. Have you ever driven somewhere or felt like, oh, I can't go that way, or I don't go into that store right now, or, oh, you know. One time my family went into a store, and we were on vacation. We pulled off an exit. They wanted to go use the restroom. I stayed in the car, and it was just a little stop, little store with about two gas pumps, and literally the main drag was right there. I mean, you could just take off on the highway. And I sat in the car, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just went whoosh. It was like, to arms. I'm like, hook, hook, what? And I'm looking around like this, and here, this guy pulled up like he was going to get gas, left the car running, had a black trench coat on. It's 70-something degrees out, and he's grabbing the front door, and I just came against all evil intent in Jesus' name. I thwart the plans of the enemy right now because my family's inside that building. And we're the only one there, the owner, the building, my family, because we're the only car besides this guy's car. He had it parked, aimed towards the highway, running. And he's grabbing at the door, and he's doing this like he's confused. And I'm confused the plans of the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm just praying, and I'm looking at him because I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? I can't do anything besides what I'm doing. Okay, so I kept praying. He kept looking confused, kept grasping at the door as if he couldn't get hold of it. When he grasped like this, his trench coat opened, and he had a, I don't know, it was about that big, gun-looking thing. It was a gun. It was big. It wasn't like a, and it wasn't, I don't know, it was a shotgun. I don't know what it was. Anyway, it was just like, and he went, looked back and forth like this, and then took off and got in the car and left. That is the Holy Spirit. I was led by the Spirit. And when the family got back in the car, of course, I was, Shanda Basete. Oh my gosh, you won't believe what just happened. And they're like, what's going on? And then I told them, I said, this is what happened. What? That's God. That's God. John 16:8, and he, when he comes, will convict the world regarding sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know the Holy Spirit's in you. When you're doing something wrong, you know it's wrong, so you stop going to church. Number one reason people stop going to church or leave and go to another church is usually sin. Usually. Not all the time, but usually. Or you go to say something, and the Holy Spirit's just going, don't. You did it. Now you're going to have to repent. You feel it. You feel it inside. You feel him going, no, shut thy mouth. Shut thy mouth, okay? And so that's the Holy Spirit. Some people say, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He does. Let me show you how he does. Have you ever felt, you know, huh? Yes, he does talk to us. For you? Yes, that's exactly right. I know. Man, that was good. I know, right? That was super good. Obviously, it had to be the Holy Spirit. I know, exactly, exactly. Oh, I know. I totally get it. You know, they're asking you. Here's something, too. A lot of times, what's the number one reason why a lot of Christians don't witness to people? That's exactly right. You're scared they're not going to know what to say and they're going to get asked a question you don't have an answer to. It's okay to say, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. It's okay to say that, you know. Okay, but there's times where, you know, somebody asks you a difficult question, and this beautiful, just, you know, whoop, and you're just like, wow, that is so amazing. I know you're like, I know the Holy Ghost lives in me. All right, you're right, Maria. Okay, and then Romans 8:26, now in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That literally means, and there might have been times when you guys have done that, you know, maybe somebody that's really close to you and in the hospital and they're dying. But just an emergent situation, or you're getting ready to lose the house and everything else because you're going to lose your job and you can't get another job. I mean, just something that's big in your life. And you're crying out to God and you just don't know what else to say because you've already said it a million times. Okay, you're just like, I just don't know what to say anymore. I just don't know what to say. And has this ever happened to you? I just don't know what to say anymore. I go, Tiamba Chica, Tonho Namati. And you're like, okay, that was really weird. What are those words that just came out of my mouth, those kind of weird sayings or whatever? That's Holy Spirit just interceding for you. That's what this scripture talks about. He's in you, and he so loves you. This is what Teresa's trying to say, Lord. And it is actually travailing for you and in you and through you. And so sometimes a language comes out of your mouth that you don't even understand. And that's the Godhead, like just communing with you and praying with you and just feeling your pain and feeling your joy, whatever it is that you're feeling. And so that's a real thing. And so if that's ever happened to you, don't be frightened by it. Just yield to it. But that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does for you. He helps you in your weakness, and he also intercedes for you. Acts 1:8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. For what? To be a witness. To be a witness. So I can go lay hands and get everybody up in the hospital, which would be really cool if God wanted to do that. Okay, but it's always about witnessing, about telling people about the kingdom. Okay, to receive power. Now, yes, there's awesome gifts of healing and miracles and raising the dead and all that kind of stuff. And we are to walk in that. Jesus did it, showed us how to do it. It says you're going to do greater works because there's a lot more of you. Okay? And so, but that's what the power is for. And like I said, I already gave you the example of when I was asking the Lord, why do I see the amount of power I know you want to display in the emergency room? Because I can tell you right now, I've got somebody's ear, if their dead one rises from the dead, I got some ears listening. And you know I'm going to give God the credit, and you know I'm going to preach the gospel. So what's happening here? And he's saying, yeah, there's power there, but your tongue also has power, and I got to be able to trust all that. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out the demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God comes upon you. Yes, we are to cast out demons. Now, there's some people who have a gift of doing that, okay? But if you're a believer, you have the ability because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit in you that casts out demons. Well, demons, they don't touch believers. They don't do this. They don't do that. There's no such thing as the demonic realm. There is no such thing as hell. Okay, you can believe those kind of things, but that is not truth, okay? You can tell me that, and I'm just going to tell you, okay, that's nice that you believe that, but let me tell you what truth is. One of the two reasons Jesus came, to save you and to destroy the works of the devil. So there has to be a devil in order to destroy his works. I came to you to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. So that means there has to be a devil to destroy. And he can't be possessing us Christians, but he can sure harass the heck out of us. All right? So we don't even think he exists, then he's having a heyday with you, probably. You don't believe in that stuff, and you want to figure everything out in your head, well, then you're going to miss out on all the supernatural part of God. You're going to have to try to figure out everything. And I'm speaking a lot to the men. Men, you guys are thinkers. You have to figure everything out. And when it comes to God, you got to just do the nesty plunge. You just got to whoosh. You got to put a cup of faith inside that cake batter. You just got to do it. Boom. Just do it and mix it. Okay? You're not going to be able to figure him out all the time. Nor should you. He's God. Yes. That's great.
That's when I started putting that aside. I just kept hearing, just believe. And as I just believed and went with it, that's when I started seeing things that I've never seen before.
Right.
And it's like maybe, like you said, maybe the thinking is actually what's really blocking me from these things.
Right.
I'm thinking myself out of it. You know?
Right, right. Overthinking. And I think we can all do that. Or rationalizing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that really God? That's really crazy. You want me to do what?
And
that's really way out of my comfort zone. Right. Right.
It's really annoying, honestly.
It is annoying. And you just got to learn to do this. Flick him right off your shoulder, because that's exactly. But what did he say to you? Did God really say?
Well, the thing is that I start to pull, like, get hooked a little bit. Like, did he really say that? Like, it's not just me, because she's seen it. All my kids seen it. Other people that like, all these things. So it wasn't just me. So it would be like me saying that everyone else around me is a liar.
Right.
And God's a liar.
Right. Oh, I know.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get it. I can remember the first time the Lord used me. Wasn't the first time, but this was a big thingy, okay, for me. It was on a Wednesday night, and it was at Restoration Church. and this girl came up, and she had gotten saved at the Rapture, which is a play that was done on the Saturday night. So she was a baby Christian, a five-day-old Christian. She on Wednesday night, and she's sharing that she has to have surgery on Friday to have her to have a hysterectomy. She had uncontrollable bleeding and fibroid tumors and this and that, and they were trying to have a baby for 5 or 6 years, and there was just no go, and she just had to have a hysterectomy. And so she wanted prayer for that. And I'm sitting there with my Lutheran mother-in-law right here, okay, and my husband right here, who's not totally trusting in my gift yet because it's new for me too, okay? And I'm just fidgeting. Lord says, I'm going to heal her womb, and she's going to bear a son in the year. Oh, well, that's nice. Have fun with that, Lord. Yeah, yay, whoop, whoop, God. Yeah, and he goes, yeah, and you're going to go up and do that. Oh, whoa. I'm looking at my mother-in-law thinking she's going to be whacked when we go on the ride home. Okay, I'm thinking, this is, oh, my gosh. Okay, and I'm doing this. And my husband says, God's speaking to you? Mm-hmm. I advise you to obey. I said, you have no clue. You have no clue what I'm supposed to do. And he goes, I'd advise you to obey. I hear you. Mm-hmm. So this is what I said. Lord, if this is you, then you're going to make room for it to happen. So when Pastor Don prays over a woman, he never puts his hands on, like, the abdomen or anything. He'll call another lady up. So there's 300 people there that night, and he calls me up to lay hands on her stomach. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Now I got to be obedient. Oh, my gosh. So I go up there, and he goes, I'd like you to put your hand there. And so he had the mic, and I put my hand over the mic, and I'm whispering in his ear, God says it. He wants to heal her womb, and she's going to bear a son in a year. And he goes, awesome. Tell her. And so, you know, so I'm saying, so I looked at her, and once I opened my mouth, that obedience happened. I mean, it was, God says right now you will not have a hysterectomy on Friday. He's going to heal your womb. And I went to go touch her. She fell back out in the spirit. She just fell down. And I was like, get her up. Because I wasn't done speaking yet. So they pull her up. This poor girl, she's like, why did I just fall? That's just the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you just can't stand around them. I don't know what to say. God says he's going to heal your womb, and you will bear a son in a year. I go, sit down. On the way home, my mother-in-law was asking a lot of questions. Why did the girl fall down? Why did you tell her she's going to have? And of course, my husband was doing that. Do you know what you just told her as a nurse? Yes, I do. Like you were saying, when the Holy Spirit's on you, the obedience comes out. And then you got, sometimes it's well-meaning Christians saying to you, are you sure that was God? Are you sure? Don't you think I was doing the same thing on the ride home? Oh, I get up. I'm a nurse. I know that's like so impossible. Oh, my gosh, I got to show my face there again. So then Sunday comes. That little girl goes up to that pulpit. Now, she was supposed to have a hysterectomy on Friday. She took her five-day-old faith and went to the doctors on Thursday and said, I am not having a hysterectomy because I believe that God's going to heal my womb and I'm going to have a baby boy. And she goes, and you know what happened to me? I started to bleed really bad Thursday night, but I remember what that little lady said. Bleeding, cease and desist. She goes, so I put my hands on my belly and said, bleeding, cease and desist in Jesus' name. And she goes, and it did. Now, we since birthed a church about 6 months later. And about 4 months later, they came and visited us with a baby boy. What? What? That is what? I am telling you, this is what God wants to do in us. We are the kingdom of God. No, it's not about me. It was God through me. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He'll guide you into all truth if you ask him. Don't do this. This is what I do sometimes. Lord, what do you want to say? La, 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 la. Get your fingers out of your ears, shut your mouth, and listen. I can't hear you, God. Yeah, you okay. I promise you, if you ask him, he will show you. He will guide you into all truth. When you walk into a church service or somebody says something and it just doesn't sound quite right, you will get that feeling in your gut that goes, oh, that's not scriptural. Something's not right about that. And if your pastor is worth his weight, like he or she should be, you should be able to go over and question that pastor. You know, you said this, and I don't see that anywhere in Scripture, or I don't understand what you meant by that. You are supposed to be Berean of the Word. You are not to rely on your pastor. They are held accountable to God at a greater measure than you are, but you still have to know the Word for yourself, right? The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. How about, has anybody ever heard tongues in a church service with interpretation? Anybody ever heard that? Okay. All right. First time I ever heard tongues in a church service, my flesh was like, what the heck? What is that? And the first thing I did, and then, so this foreign language is going on, and then a couple minutes goes by, and then English happens, and it's the interpretation of what the tongue was. And it was in order. I mean, it wasn't like they interrupted the pastor talking or anything like that. But it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. It was creepy crawly all over me. My flesh was just creeping out, okay? But what I did was I reached into my spirit right here. He will guide you to all truth. If this is you, I want every bit of you, God. So if this is you, I don't want to turn it off. I don't want, you know, I just let me know if this is of you. And inside, deep inside my heart, he goes, this is of me. You're just not used to it. And so then when I went home, what do you think I did? I looked it all up. You know, I looked up tongues and, you know, and stuff like that. I know what happens at our church service here. Usually, doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. Pastor Scott's usually really good about teaching. He'll just tell you what it is, what we just experienced, for those who've never seen it before. And as a matter of fact, we have things on the back of our chairs that talk about things like that, how little stick figures. And they even give you scriptures, so it's done for you. You can take that little card home and look it up yourself. You should always be able to back up what you're seeing with scripture. Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out the demons by the Spirit of God, then I read that, didn't I? Thank you, honey. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. He's a helper. He will teach you how many things? All things. All things. I'm telling you, like Maria was saying, there's things I have said that I know I hadn't read. I knew it was of God. I knew I'd heard it, but it wasn't really down embedded in me, if that makes any sense. And it was just the Holy Spirit, just because he's going to show me all things. Because he loves that person that's asking the question. He loves him that much. Oh, it's so fun. Okay. And he will teach you all things and remind you. That's that little conviction thing. Teresa. And he's very practical. Check that. Go check the stove before you leave. Oh, and it's on. He's a very practical God. Acts 9:31. Continued in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it kept increasing. What I wanted you to get out of that is that the Holy Spirit comforts us. Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. What that means is you are a work in progress, and we should see some progress. Okay, I should look, I hope to goodness I do. Okay, I should look different than I did 2 years ago or 4 years ago. There should be something more fruit. My fruit should be ripening. Maybe I have even more fruit growing on my tree. We should be going from glory to glory. There is such thing as standing still with God. You're either going forward or you're going backward. But God and stagnant, I mean, the only time you're supposed to be stagnant is to be still and know that he is. Be still and know that I'm God. Okay? We are not to be stagnant in our walk with him. Oh, I've arrived. I read scripture and I pray more and I do more ministries than half the people at church. So I can slack back. Well, the first thing I'm going to have to do is repent for pride. Okay, right? We are not to compare ourselves to anybody, only to God. We should not be looking to the left or right, but to God when it comes to comparison. And that just keeps you right straight in your place. There's no way pride can come in if you're comparing yourself to God, right? Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self. Sometimes we just get weary. And if you've been physically sick, that will just wear you out. Emotionally, spiritually, That's just a hard place to be in. And that's when you have to, you cannot go by your feelings. You just got to go by truth. And that you know that the truth is that God never leaves us or forsakes us. The truth is the joy of the Lord is my strength. The truth is I put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I mean, I can remember when I was still in the wheelchair. And those of you who've been in my house, I have the hardwood floors there in the middle. And so I can really fly with that. I can just push that walker that I'm sitting in, and zing. And I was in that thing, and I was very, very weary. And I put a song on that says, Don't Tread on Me. And it's a warfare song. It's talking to the devil. What made you think that you could touch the crown? It's like, boom, right in your face, devil. And so I put that on, and I'm zinging around in a wheelchair, telling the devil, you are not going to have your last say with me. God is here with me. And I was feeling, but I had encouraged myself in the Lord. I was feeling oppressed. I was feeling heavy. It says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So I put that warfare song on, and then I just started putting other songs on and just praised my way out of it. Our relationship is, if you're stagnant, it's just not going to work. It's a relationship. Takes two to have a relationship, right? God's there. He's never going to leave you. He's sitting there going, will you just call on me? Will you just call on me? I want to hug you. I want to hold you. I want to just fill you up with joy right now. I know you don't feel it. You just got to go. It would be my word. You would just know that you know it. You can't go on your feelings. You got to just know about the truth. The truth of the word is, I'm right here with you. In Galatians, this is all the other stuff the Holy Spirit gives you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That is the Holy Spirit right there. And be careful what you ask for. I want to be a love bug. He's going to bring you the most obnoxious people to help you to be a love bug. Right. There's one. Yeah, I stopped doing that. Yeah, I learned. Rob was like, never mind. Okay, wait. Okay. Peace. How do you think you're going to learn it? How do you think to learn you're going to walk in peace? Right. Chaos has got to come in so you can learn how to walk in peace. For goodness sake. How are we going to? Oh, yeah. Okay. But we're so funny because for years, I didn't know that's how it worked, you know. And so I'd ask for something, and then all this chaos would happen. And I was like, gosh, I'm asking for peace, and how come there's chaos in my life? And, you know. He's probably going, will you just zone into me? I'm birthing that in you. I'm showing you how to tap into it. It's already in you. And that's the other thing about the Holy Spirit. You do not need to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. You have 100% of the Holy Spirit in you. Are there infillings? Yes. What are infillings? I call it yieldings. You already have 100% of the Holy Spirit in you. We got to learn to yield. Get out of his way, will ya? Move out of the way. And let him in your rooms. You know, some of us have the Holy Spirit, and we let him in the foyer. We don't let him in the bedroom. And we don't let him in the kitchen or the living room. And we definitely don't let him in the junk drawer. Right? You know, we have to start yielding different areas of our life to the Holy Spirit. The more you yield, the more the Holy Spirit's going to just come up and through you. So, why do we need the Holy Spirit? So you can resist. This is why. This is why you need the Holy Spirit. So you can resist, number one. Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil an opportunity, period. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Well, I don't do the Ten Commandments. A lot of people look at that. You know, I don't break the Ten Commandments, so I'm good to go. I'm good to go. Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. How about workplace gossip? What's your website look like? What's your Facebook look like? What's your texting look like? What do your responses look like if I was a fly on the wall in your house? What movie you watched? What movie were you watching? What music were you just listening to? Huh? What book are you reading? What did you just do to the guy who cut you off? Did that make him think of Jesus? When one of them fingers went up? Yeah. Did that make him think of Jesus? I can remember when my boys would come home and they were being made fun of or whatever, and they would tell me the situation. And I'd say, he said this and this and this, and I said this back. And then I would say, so what you said, did it make that person think of Jesus? That used to make them so mad.
Well, no.
Right. So you know what? Can we go ahead and pray for that person right now? Now, let me tell you something. And that, they didn't like me doing that either. Praying for the person that bullied them, or praying for the person that made fun of them, or praying for the person. And let me tell you, my flesh as a mom, okay, I had to put the hair back down my back of my neck. Okay, peace and calm, Teresa, peace and calm. This is the raising the children in the way they should go thing. This is it. This is what it is. Now, I felt like my child was physically endangered or something like that, which happened one time, and I did go to the principal, and I had it taken care of. But when it's just the regular stuff that's going on, I had to teach my children the way they needed to go. And I would sit there and pray for that child. Mean people are just, they're mean. Hurting people hurt people. That's what they do. Hurting people hurt people. He's got to be really hurting. So let's pray for his hurting heart. And sometimes they'd join me and sometimes they wouldn't, and that was okay. And so I would just pray. But you know what? Those are just seeds planted. Don't conform, be transformed. 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you, why? So you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. A lot of us do not conform to the world. We've decided that we're not going to go out drinking and drugging and having sex and doing all these kind of crazy things. Okay, we're not going to conform to the world, but we stop there. Well, I don't do all those things. But we haven't transformed our mind. The only time you're hearing about the word is on Sunday when the preacher preaches, or maybe you're catching something on the way to work in the car, but you're not having that one-on-one time with God, because you got to get that junk out of your mind, man. When you got saved, your mind just didn't get like, what do you do with a computer, Daniel, to make it go, everything go bye-bye, to clear it? Like, how do you clear? Reboot, thank you. Okay, so with a computer, your mind's like a computer. And when you ask Jesus into your heart, he comes into your spirit, soul, and body, okay? So you are saved in your spirit. Your mind is being saved. Paul talks about that. I'm being saved. Your body is going to go back to the dust, okay? But your mind is being saved. So you still have the sexual abuse that you were when you were 3 years old. I might ask Jesus in my heart today, and I'm a new creature in Christ, but this mind still has past events in it that are just, and ways of thinking, maybe things I've been taught or culture that I've been brought up in that need to be transformed. There's a lot of Christians who think abortion is absolutely fine. Their mind has not been transformed. Maybe they grew up believing that. I thought that was okay. I don't know. There's a lot of things about being transformed. The mind has to be transformed. It's okay to date when you're separated. I'm separated from my wife, and I'm dating somebody. No. You die tonight, who gets the stuff? You're just as married as you are anyway. Okay. But there's lots of things that the culture that we're living in, and lots of the moral standard that has moved around. God's moral standard's right here. Okay. And even in churches now, they're going to be held accountable by God for blaspheming the word of God. But it's confusing. All his children. God is not the God of confusion, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You must transform your mind. And so that means that when you get saved, you're going to have to be open to being taught. Okay? And allow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you. He will tell you. If you ask him with get your fingers out of your ears, remember? Okay? And you ask him, is this wrong? He'll tell you. And we have to love people where they're at. Some people, we talked about this last week, they haven't got to that page in the Bible yet, okay? When they've grown up, and, you know, everybody's sleeping with everybody and all this and that, and then they get saved, and they're still living with their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever's going on, they have to be transformed. The only way that's going to happen is that somebody needs to yoke up next to them and disciple them, right? Holy Spirit will do all of it for you, but that's why we need each other. This year, it's been very, very hard. It has separated a lot, the sheep from the goats. We have been very tested and tried. We've been socially distanced and cloths put over our mouth. and shoved into homes, seclusion. And a lot of us have gotten comfortable with that. And so we're just gonna go ahead and zoom in the service all the time, even though we could probably get here, right? And we could wear a mask and sit in a corner if that makes you feel safe or whatever it is that you need to do. But the enemy, we have got to reach out to those people. We have got to reach out, and we have to remind ourselves not to grow weary. We need each other. What do you listen to? What does your evening look like? Who do you hang out with? What's another reason we need Holy Ghost? Be proactive and alert. 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's 24/7. He can only be at one place one time. They're nothing but fallen angels. They cannot be everywhere. Only God can do that. Okay? But he is sending out his unholy angels, demons, prowling around looking for somebody to devour. They want to take your faith. Did God really say? Do you think you really got saved yet? Don't you think this is a dead-end street, this Christian thing? I'm telling you, that's the voice of the enemy. That's where he fights, right here, between the ears, right here. That's why you have to be a sober spirit. That means you need to be just on the alert and so, you know, not. Don't need to be an airhead. You know what I'm saying? Just giddy. You don't even know where you are half the time. Okay, you need to be a sober spirit, okay? Right, there you go. Right, exactly. Be of sober spirit. This is not sober spirit. Do not call yourself a Christian if you're doing this. Really? You should be the most approachable person. You shouldn't be sitting like this or this. Come on now. That's not sober spirit. That's a crab apple. That's what that is. Read the word, talk to God, worship him, thank him for who he is. He used to do nothing else for you. Are you good enough? Is that good enough for you? Apply the word you read. Go to church, join a Bible study, start a Bible study, start a home group, get an accountability partner. I could go on and on. And you don't have to, you know, I don't want an accountability partner. I can't meet once a week. Who put the rules on? Maybe you meet with somebody once a month. Maybe you FaceTime them. I don't know, but do something. What's the other reason you need Holy Ghost for? Submit and resist. Submit, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The only way you're going to submit to the Lord God is with the Holy Ghost, because your flesh will absolutely go against him every time. The Holy Spirit in your spirit, your Holy Spirit is going to help you yield and submit to God. I'd like for you to get up at 6 a.m., Teresa, and meet with me. I promise you, you'll have the hardest time getting to sleep the night before, and you'll have every excuse in the world not to get up at 6 a.m. That's called the flesh. Okay. Right, we know. All right. When God speaks, immediately obey. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. That's rationalization. You're trying to rationalize what God told you. I promise you, whatever God's telling you to do, it's going to shake you in the boots. And so if you sit there and try to rationalize it, you won't do it. Okay? And of course, the enemy's he's banking on that. Okay? I was trying to rationalize at the same about going up and telling that girl about being healed. I knew the voice of the Holy Spirit. But I never want to misrepresent him. I misrepresent God? Oh, my gosh. You know, and so he knew my heart. I put the fleece out. You're going to make room for it. I'm not supposed to do that. And I do that a lot. I still do that now. Oh, it's like, okay, pastor will make room for it or give opportunity for it. Or somebody will speak specifically on that subject. And then it'll happen. And then that's my confirmation. And it's not because I'm trying to be disobedient. I'm wanting a confirmation so I don't ever misrepresent God. And there is a difference. And God knows a difference in your heart, okay? He knows that whether you're just being a scaredy cat or you're just wanting to make sure, you know, it's God. And there's time where I've been a scaredy cat and missed a blessing. And guess what? You're forgiven and move on. A lady that came to our, where I'm at. Oh, I'm good. We were meeting at the school, 20 years ago? Lady came. First of all, on Saturday night, I was just worshiping, and I got this vision of a lady in a wheelchair. Well, there was nobody who came to our church in a wheelchair. And came to church on Sunday, in the middle of praise and worship, in rolls a lady in a wheelchair. And I can remember leaning over to my friend and saying, I saw her last night. And I didn't know what it meant. And so we're breaking down after church. We're breaking down and putting everything back the way we find it. And this lady and her husband are just standing there. And the Lord says, go lay hands on her. And she's in a wheelchair. And then he said, what do you see, Teresa? What do you see? And I said, I see me laying hands on her, but her not getting up. And he didn't say anything else. That's all I heard. So I was ignoring her because I don't want to lay hands on somebody that don't get up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing some stuff. And so she calls me over. God, bless America. God is so good. I am telling you. These people, they were visiting. They're coming, going back to Florida. And God told them to take this exit and go into this church. That story, okay? And she's a missionary's kid. And contracted something that put her into the wheelchair when she was probably 8 or 9 years old. Lady was probably in her 40s or 50s. And she goes, you got something to say to me? Are you kidding me? Yes, but come here. Really? The lady in the wheelchair has to teach the pastor's wife. Wow, okay. You know, I come over and she goes, what is it? Say what you need to say. And I said, yeah, but what I saw, I didn't like what I saw. And she goes, what did you see? I said, God told me, he asked me, he said to go lay hands on you and to pray for you. And then he said, what do you see? And she goes, well, what did you see? I said, I don't see you getting up. She goes, well, my suggestion is, she goes, first of all, I'm going to get up sometime. But my suggestion to you is be obedient. And I grabbed her hands and I prayed and she didn't get up. Now, why am I telling you that? About a week later, I was sitting underneath the teaching. It was Women's Aglow and Tracy Stewart was teaching. And right in the middle of her teaching, she said, God told me to say, because this is for somebody out there, He would have gave you whatever it was that you saw. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. It was a test for me. What do you see, Teresa? If I'd have seen her getting up, she would have gotten up. Yes. Dang it. And I'm like, oh, shoot. And so I said, Lord, bring her in. And I have prayed this for years, because it's been 20 years. If she ever comes in here, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, get up and dance. And I'm going to take her by the hand and get her. Every once I always look to see. I don't even know if I'd recognize her. I probably would, because she would probably come up to me. But anyway, but you know, I wanted to feel condemned. The enemy was right there to devour me with condemnation. You really missed it. No. God is God. And if he wanted her to get up right then and there, he would have got her up, okay? But that's not the point was is that the enemy then tried to really wear me down. And I had to just repent to the Lord for not seeing big enough. And would you just give me another chance? Okay? So I'm sharing my blunders with you, too, to say that, you know, when I heard that, the Holy Spirit quickened me, you know, the week later when that Tracy Stewart gave that word out in the middle of, I'm sure she's probably going, why am I saying this? Okay, but it was for me, and I knew it. The Holy Spirit went, that was for you. Oh, shoot. And so I'm just, if the Lord ever says to me, what do you see? I'm going to be real careful about how I answer that. And see if I, you know, I want to see with your eyes, Lord. I want to see with your eyes, because I know what my normal eyes will look at. But what do your eyes see? Are they? Well, thank you. That's, you sound like Susie Patello. Susie's over there going, I've said that before to you. Well, thank you for that encouragement. I might have to actually not pray about that. Not that what you said, that Susie didn't count. But when you're actually about the third or fourth person who said that. Thank you, though. Man, I know, right? Right? I know. And if it scares you half to death, it's probably God. Who just said that? Was that me? Okay. Thanks, God. Should I put a note over here? Mm-hmm. Book? Okay. Now, glory. Thank you, Lord. Submit and resist. Resist laziness. Remove stumbling blocks. Resist laziness. Remove stumbling blocks. Get your clothes out the night before church. For crying out loud. Leave 20 minutes earlier than you think you need to be there. That's removing stumbling blocks, okay? Enemy wants to have you fighting and swatting at your kids in the backseat as you're driving to church. And we have all probably done it at some time or another. Or fight. Now, I remember talking to Pastor Scott, and I had a fight, and it was communion. But, you know, we're both too true blue to, there's no way we're going to sit there. And so we're here sobbing and blubbering all over each other in front of the whole congregation. I'm sorry, man. You know, so, but, you know, and that's what happens when you decide to be stubborn and not get your act together and get things right before you walk into church. Now you have to sit there and repent in front of the whole congregation. There you have it. That's one way to learn. Yes, we're human. Just repent and move on. Bind and loose. Matthew said, oh, what's binding and loosing? Okay, so you have the Holy Spirit in you, so you can bind and loose. Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Do you know you can bind fear? Anything you want to tie a knot on and put handcuffs to and kick it out of here, that's what you bind. Fear, rejection, unforgiveness, and you loose love, courage, forgiveness. And it better be lining up for the kingdom. You're not going to, you know, I'm making up things. Well, I'm going to bind, you know, Joe from going out with Susie because Joe's supposed to be for me, Lord. Okay, yeah. It's amazing the prayers that the youth will pray sometimes. Okay, so that's lining up with kingdom. Okay, that's not kingdom thinking. That's not kingdom living. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is kingdom stuff. Okay, so if you're not sure how to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done. Father God, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Perfect prayer, can't go wrong. Nothing stupid comes out of that. Because that's what needs to be happening. Heaven is supposed to be invading the earth through you and you and you and me. Mm-hmm. I would say the answer is yes on that. Binding is also coming out of agreement, repenting and coming out of agreement. I don't usually bind, of course, when somebody's coming to me, they're coming for deliverance. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes some people are so, there's so much rejection, there's such a stronghold of rejection. I'm going to use rejection as an instance. Such a stronghold of rejection on them. They can't even feel worthy enough to receive deliverance. Okay? And so I'm trying to, that rejection has just, they've bought it, hook, line, and sinker. So sometimes you'll have to bind rejection. And when you're binding the enemy, he's not allowed to work, he's not allowed to talk, he's not allowed to do anything. He's like this, tape over his mouth. Okay? And then they can start to hear the word of the Lord and the truth of the Lord. And then, okay, and then we take them to places where the rejection is, and then they walk through it, and then they repent, then we cast it out, and then we loose. I always, when I'm done praying for somebody or delivering somebody, I always loose all the attributes of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the goodness, because the 100% of the Holy Spirit's in us. But remember, a lot of us are not even tapping into it. And so I'll say, I believe it, or I'll look at the person. Are you willing to yield right now to love? Because somebody who has rejection, it's very hard for them to even think God loves them and even wants to set them free. It's warfare. It's war, man. I'm telling you. And there's so many Christians that have lived defeated lives, and they're all bound up in rejection, and they look like sad saps. And then they're trying to share God with somebody, and that person's like, I mean, is that how he's working for you? Because you're looking pretty sad. Okay. We have to start walking around in victory and authority so people will want what we have. What the heck? How is it you could forgive? I had a guy that was an atheist that came to a deep healing. I don't deep heal atheists, okay? Because, I mean, you got to believe in the person that's healing you. But he came to my office so at least I could share more of God with him. And the reason why he came is there was no way. How could you forgive your dad for sexually abusing you? There is no way. There is no way I would ever do that. I mean, he went on a tangent. He was more offended for me than I'd ever been for me. I mean, he was out of control, really out of control. Yelling, probably, never got there. But he, there is no way I could, and he was so astounded with the fact that he could see I really had forgiven my dad. You know what I'm saying? He's intrigued. So he came back to meet with Scott and I a couple of times, and it was only because he was intrigued. Just couldn't get that. How could she do that? That was because he was intrigued by something in there. And I told him, I said, I can't do that. I said, it's the Holy Ghost in me. What's the Holy Ghost? Why don't you meet with us another session? I can tell you about him. And he came 2-3 times. Seeds planted. Hallelujah. Binding and loosing. Okay, so when I was telling you how when I was walking, you know, when I first started to walk, I was scared, right? And fear just jumped on me. I mean, I was just like, for 7 weeks, I was like this. And if I went past this, it was 10 of 10, intractable pain for 30 or 40 minutes. Once I started the pain, it was game on, and I would have to lay down and get in all kinds of weird positions trying to get some kind of relief and shake and vibrate and cry and yell and scream and hoot and holler and the whole bit, okay? So when I went to go walk, fear jumped right on me, and I had to bind it. It was like, no, no. You can say, I bind you, or you can say, no, fear. Not this property. No. God is not a God of fear. And then I had to just stand up. that was a moment of faith. It was a moment of like, oh, just you can do it, Teresa. But I'll tell you what, my heart was beating out of my chest. Fear was there. Fear was right there. And it was like, no. But I knew how I had to get rid of it. And once I did that, it was gone. He was testing. The enemy was right there going, don't stand up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Remember that pain? It happens to all of us in different ways. Destroy, take captive. That's another reason why we have the Holy Spirit on board. What does that mean? 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is where all our warfare is. It's in between your ears. Right? Every thought, you got to weigh it and measure it. It's coming in. And it better line up. We are destroying arguments. Did God really say? Are you really sure? What about this? She gave you a dirty look. They probably didn't enjoy your teaching today. That was kind of boring. Maybe you were a little too wordy. Maybe on and on and on. Okay. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised up against the knowledge of God. So how do I know what thoughts from God and what thoughts from the devil? I can use all kinds of words and you would know. Rejection. God or devil? Right. Love. Work ethic. Workaholic. Very good. Some people miss that one. Okay. I could go on. What I did with the youth, when we did that, about 200 pieces of paper thrown on the tables, with every word you can think of, and they had to go up and take it and stick it underneath. I had a big chart. God, devil, look at the word and go put it where it belongs. Because they go, we don't know how to tell the difference between God and devil. Yes, you do. And I'm going to show you 200 different ways. And they had to take them up there and stick them up. The only one they missed was working. A workaholic. I thought that was a good thing. Work your butt off. And it's called being out of balance. Anytime you're out of balance, being in the church every time the doors are open can be God or devil. you better be careful. He's going to come as an angel of light. He'll be looking like the real thing. If you're here every time the doors are open and your family is being neglected, you missed the mark. God, spouse, kids, ministry. That order. The one thing Billy Graham said that he regretted. He said, what would you have done differently? Take less engagements. Take less engagements. We know he's an awesome man of God, right? Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So you should take the word, and if it's rejection or, you know, oh my gosh, I felt stupid. I really didn't complete my thought when I was up there talking to them. It makes me feel stupid. Oh my gosh, that's stupid. Is that God? No, stupid's not God. Okay. I pull it down and let it go. You do not entertain it. Do not have a conversation with it. If it does not line up underneath God, do not have a conversation with it. That's bait. He's baiting you. He wants you to have the conversation. Are you sure that's God? Well, no, I'm not really sure it's God. Right, exactly. So, well, and what about the last time? Well, if that's not God, if you're not so sure about that, then what about this time? And they'll bring up all, oh my gosh, talking about it. Uh-huh, and remembering every little thing, okay? Remembering every little thing. We're destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So I'm gonna share one, Pastor Scott. He's shared this before with the congregation, so I know I'm okay with it. Okay. We had just birthed the church, and Restoration Church had planted us, if you will. Kind of, sort of. Anyway, he went back to go preach on a Wednesday night. And there's like, you know, 300 or 400 people he's going to preach to. And the congregation went with him, all, I think, 15 of us at the time. And so we all went. And, you know, just to give him rah-rah-ree, and he went up there, and he decided that he was going to talk on something that he knew a lot about, and that was about taking care of your body and about diet and exercise and tying it into the Lord and all that. When he went up there, he said he couldn't see his notes. Looked at the notes, and there was a big blur. He couldn't see nothing. And when he was up there, I saw his jaw clicking. The only time my husband's jaw clicks, I've seen it happen twice in here, and that's because there was somebody that came and sat in the front row and was planted here to disrupt the service. And I saw my husband's up there, and I saw the jaw click, and I went, sober spirit. I looked around, I saw that guy, and I thought, oh, and I think I actually looked at some prayer warriors and said, and we got up, took four corners in the place, and just started praying, and my husband breezed right through that sermon. And that guy left early. You bet you're going to leave early, because I'm going to come over and introduce myself to you if you're still standing here. Okay, but I knew that he had just come in to disrupt the service, spiritually speaking. And so my husband's jaw's clicking. And I'm like, oh, geez, he's in trouble. Because I could just see the look on his face, and I'm like, and I remember when the deacons leaned over, he goes, where's the nearest exit? He thought he was being funny, and I'm thinking, no, really, Scott's in trouble. I mean, I knew he was in trouble. I don't think anybody else really knew he was in trouble. But, and Scott stood there for probably 1 to 2 minutes, which is a long time if you're getting ready to speak when you've already introduced yourself, okay? And he kept doing this with his eyes, and he remembered taking it, and then he went like this. And then he brought forth a powerful sermon. What he did was, and because he told all of us that next Sunday, he said, I tried to deliver a sermon without the anointing. I tried to deliver a sermon in my own strength. And I knew I was toast. Because I walked over and went, God, please, I'm so sorry that I tried to do this in my own strength. Would you please forgive me? And they came back and everything was clear and he preached. So that would, that's taking all arrogance, lofty thoughts, thinking you're all that in a bag of chips. Okay? We need to take those lofty thoughts captive. He just got some lofty thoughts put in him. The enemy put some lofty thoughts in him before he went to preach that Wednesday night. And that's one thing I will say about my husband. He's a humble man. He will sit there and walk off that stage before he'll sit there and preach in his own strength. He just will. I mean, that's, you know, I just love that about him. I'm like, oh my gosh. And we do have a jewel. And he tells that story from time to time. I'm sure it's in my, because I will never do that again. I'm telling you, it was the most awful feeling. I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't hear nothing, you know. And, of course, that was the biggest crowd he'd ever preached to at that time, 300 people. I mean, wow. Yeah, he thought he was all that. Oh, boy. Okay. We are given the authority to destroy those lofty thoughts that come our way, and we have the authority to make sure every thought stays lined up with Christ. Devil does not make you do anything. He can surely speak into your head, all right, but you make the ultimate decision. So we're not going to, when you come and say, you know, well, the devil made me do that, that is not a true statement, and I have no problem telling you that. That's not a true statement. You want to show me where you, what scripture do you get that from? Where is that at? You are responsible to destroy and take captive every thought. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit's supposed to do it. The Holy Spirit will guide you and help you. But you're just not going to sit back here and, you know, file your nails, and the Holy Spirit's going to take captive every thought that comes your way. Okay? You have to take captive those thoughts. That's how you learn your authority. That's like with our For Your Health, through the For Your Health seminar, we teach you who God is, who the enemy is, and how to fight the devil, and how to go to your past and clean it all up. And then what do? We make you go into a room by yourself with God, all the different rooms in this campus, and you deal with God and your junk, and you learn how to warfare. And if you need help, you open a door and we can come in and help you get unstuck, right? But the whole goal is to empower you with authority, God's power and authority, so that when you leave here after a four-year health seminar on that third day, you're like, man, this word works. I worked the word and it worked, and I just got rid of rejection, and I'm going to keep doing this thing. I'm going to keep cleaning out my, I'm going to keep weeding my garden. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, a lot of times this is not being taught. Why are we here? Right? If we're not going from glory to glory, we're not going to be very useful for the kingdom of God. The other reason why we need the Holy Spirit on board is to think heaven's thoughts. Without the Holy Spirit, our minds, isn't it so hard? The hardest thing for me to do is to sit still before the Lord without my brain going 20,000 different directions. And every once in a while, I get there. And then it's like, how did I get here? And can I remember how I got here? So I'll do it again. And it's just a sweet place, because then you're just so open to hearing the Holy Spirit, you know. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, think about these things. I can promise you, if you watch too much news, you're going to have a hard time with your quiet time. Sometimes you watch any news. It just depends. Each person's different. You know what the Holy Spirit's telling you. You know, I was on bed rest for 6 weeks. And so I was spending hours with God, but then I started to put the news on. It was okay. But not every night. I found myself being distracted. My quiet time, I had a hard time getting quiet in my quiet time. Hard time really digging into the word and pondering the scriptures and stuff like that. And I'm like, what changed? And he goes, you got to keep your thoughts on heaven. I know you need to be informed and this and that and the other. I promise you, though, if something terrible happens to the United States of America, you're going to hear it from somebody. You don't need to be checking the news all the time. And Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So I believe that hopefully you have a thorough understanding of who Holy Spirit is, what his roles are inside of you, and what your role is, that it is a relationship. You have to co-labor with the Holy Spirit, with Holy Spirit in you. He is ready, willing, and able any moment of any second of any time of any day. You have to yield to him. You have to yield to him. You have to give him the time. You have to ask. You have to appropriate. You have to sometimes open your mouth and say when he tells you to say, or meet with him at 6 o'clock when he tells you to meet with him at 6 o'clock, or to read this, like sometimes, you know, read the book of Jeremiah. Why? Just because I said so. Okay. You know, so, all right, so I'm reading the book of Jeremiah. All right, so just be obedient. He's going to trust you with small things before he's going to trust you with big things. Go lay hands on the person that's getting out of the gray car at the Ingalls parking lot right over there. Well, they look fine. I don't see anything wrong with them. Did I ask you any of that? I remember one time we were at Copper River, and there was a party of four sitting over there, and the Holy Spirit just go over, and they need prayer. And I went over there, and excuse me, I know you don't know me. God told me that somebody here needed prayer. No, I'm good. And then one lady said, I'll take the prayer. Absolutely, let's go for it. And I don't know who it was for, and if all four of them said no, well, you know what, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth, in their lives, as it is in heaven, is how I would have prayed. They all said no. Then I would say, can I pray for you anyway? And if they said no, then I wouldn't have. But she said yes. But, you know, again, we just have to be obedient and just do it. I don't know if Ted Travers actually did this or he just told the story of a guy who did it. But a guy was pulled up like into a 7-Eleven, what do we call them around here, hot spots. And Holy Spirit said, go in and do a handstand in the corner. What the hey? Okay, first, I don't even know I could do a handstand. That would be a sight to behold. Okay, but go do a handstand in the corner right now inside the 7-Eleven. And he just knew it was God, and he felt like a fool. And he went, and he did. Of course, there's people in the line, and yada-da-da. And he says he just went up there really quickly, whooshing-ching, did the handstand. And then came back down, and somebody came out of the line and went over to him and said, I was just asking, God was talking to my heart, and I said, if you're real, you'll send somebody in here and do a handstand in the corner. What the heck? He is. Just like, well, my brother-in-law, Ed. He used to be an atheist, my crazy brother-in-law, Ed. And so my sister Debbie got saved the week before he did, and they went back because weird things were happening at their church, and they were very intrigued at the church because they saw speaking in tongues and all kinds of crazy stuff, and somebody fell down or something. So they went back, and preaching went on, and Ed had seen so much hypocrisy in the Christian, world. He didn't want anything to do with Christians. He just didn't believe there was a God. And so he goes, I found myself up at the altar, and this is what he said. If you're real, you're going to have to show me you're real, because if you don't, I will tell everybody you do not exist. I will tell everybody you do not exist. And Debbie said he physically flew about 12 feet back onto the ground, never got hurt. But she said, he flew like a cotton ball. She goes, and he came up and his changed man, weeping, bawling. He's a lawyer now, and he does Jericho marches around. Oh, yeah, he's a hoot. Around courthouses and stuff like that. He is a mighty man for the kingdom of God. But the point was, is that in his heart, he meant business, and God meant business. I mean, I'll show you I'm real, right? Bam. I'll show you how real I am. Okay? So I've challenged people with that before. I've had people ask me, some men at work. One guy was getting ready to have surgery, so he was a little bit scared and starting to ask about God thing, And I don't know about all that. I said, because you're trying to think him through. Okay? And there's just a cup of faith there that you have to mix in there. And he goes, I'm just not really sure. And I said, I'm going to double dog dare you to do something. I mean, like double dog dare. You have a place that you contemplate? And he goes, yeah, I have 5 acres in the back. Is there a place that you like to go? He goes, yeah. He says, I double dog dare you to go out there with no agenda, that you want something from God or, you're back healed or whatever because you're getting ready to have back surgery. And with a pure heart, ask him if he's real. I promise you he'll answer you. And then when I saw him afterwards, I said, did you ever go out into the woods? No. I just know that if you go with a pure heart, Ed's heart was pure. He's like, I'll be all about it, but if you're not, you're He wanted to know, and he asked, and he heard. Hallelujah. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for this teaching. I ask, Lord, that you seal everything. By Holy Spirit, will you seal everything in our hearts that we just received? Would you allow it to just germinate in us? those areas of our heart maybe where we have not received your love like we should. It's just so hard for us to imagine that you just love us, even when we're messing up and being stupid. You love us. Thank you so much. Maybe it's joy. Maybe we're struggling with joy or patience or just plain old kindness. Just germinate that in us, Lord. And we thank you that you are so patient with us, that your love is never ending. Thank you so much for that, Lord. And Father, I also ask, Lord, to start stirring and germinating ministries, giftings in the body of Christ that's right in front of me right now. What are they supposed to be doing? Is there something that you've whispered in their ear? And they just thought, I can't do that. And the Holy Spirit's saying, that's right, you can't. You're going to need me to help you. Thank you, Lord. Stir that up in them. Stir that up in them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen.